Today we're going to do it a bit differently. You're going to see something else in this day. And while we set up the whole thing, I want you to mark so long our verses of this day. So 1 Corinthians 10. If you can get 1 Corinthians 10 ready, if you can get Malachi 1 ready, come on, you need to get it all sorted. Psalm 23, that's some of the verses we're going to just take a moment and just study in this day. See, we are busy in this church with a mini-series called Pursuit. We are currently in a pursuit of the presence of God. We are in a pursuit of a deeper place of God. We are in a pursuit where God moves in a different way than before. We have a desire, and I could see it in our praise and worship this day. I could hear it in your vocals, that there's a desire for God, for deeper and more of Him in this church. So what I want to leave today is something really simple, but I've prayed that God will use the simplicity of this to stir your life ahead. You see, for those who can't see, maybe listen on internet in the weeks to come, on stage we have a table, right? It is called the Aardwurm Rooi Eikenhout Melamine whatever wood table. All right, but it's wood, it's solid. But this table has a history, you see. This is actually a family table. This is a personal belonging of the Duplessis for many years. You see, my uncle bought this table, and what they told me is this was the first table they ever had money for. This was the first wooden table they ever bought for their house when they got like engaged and married and, you know, starting up in life. You can see the table has some stories. There's some paint on it. I wondered many days about this paint. Where did it come from? Why is it there? And then if you can see on top, there's some scrapes and there's some marks left behind on this table. See, my uncle, Uncle Pierre and Auntie Marlies, this was the table they bought. And then as time, you know, ticked by, this table ended up in my house at a day. And it stood in a room there in a corner for many months and many years. And many things happened by this table. And then something happened and we replaced this table. But it was a special table. It was a sentimentele tafel. You get that one thing that's got stories attached to it. So we couldn't just give it away or throw it away. So we actually stored it up in a storeroom. And then my brother phoned like, I need a table. I'm like, dude, there's a table for you. And then I actually borrowed him and his wife this table, and they had it in their house for many years. And then they got a new table, and then the table was stored again. But it's still our table. You see, this table is special because many days and many times and many months I've done this. For many, many moments in my life, I sat by this table. Many things happened by this table. See, there's something special about tables, and I want you to quickly close your eyes. Can you see your table in life? Can you imagine your table, your first table? You know that game table that you bought for $50 on special that had a red dot? You assembled it, was wrong. You then disassembled it, you reassembled it. It was wrong again because you didn't read the manual, that table. Can you see the table that someone donated or gave away because they had no more space, but it was your first table? Can you remember making like a sandwich with peanut butter just to go and sit and eat by that table because now you've got a table? Remember that day? You see, I want to just throw something your way in this day about tables. You see, tables, and I want to read some stuff, is where life happens. So I want you to look at this moment. You see, when life happens at tables, we have moments where imaginations will run wild. It's moments where we take our phone and we have conversation and we're like, what's your idea? And let's create an app, and our imagines go wild. Imagination just explodes by a table. But then when life happens as well, lessons are learned. If you do that one more time, Sundry, we will have problems. your life will fall apart. And conversations of lessons learned take place by tables. And maybe it's the same table. But then wonders are built also. We have blocks where we build many things, and maybe we play some games. And I want to show you this. So maybe you know this real well. You see, you've got blocks. And we sit and we phone friends and we're like, hey, build the blocks. Let's play a game. Maybe your table in life have moments where you sit and you build the blocks, and then someone comes and like, ah, I'm the winner always. It's me. I never lose. And you get upset and you smile, but your heart is moved, but it's by the table. You see, there's moments where maybe there's no sundry, there's no cup, there's no yaku, and we just want something beautiful at the table. So we decorate it. We call upon this one little thingy to just stand there whole day long and just be on the table because now it's pretty. You've got something on your table, right? Omar's gehikel, the itzi. You know, you've got it. It doesn't make sense, but at your table, at times in life, you just place stuff there. See, there's times in life where life happens and wounds are comforted, and we make coffee or we pour a drink and we sit, and then we comfort people and we say, listen, I know it doesn't heal everything, but you weet die groen monsterkie that heals all the pain. And you pour it in the cups and you have a conversation and you just touch a wounded heart. It's the same table. See, when life happens, sometimes we find peace at this table. So we had many moments already, but there's something deeper in us. And we call upon the Word of God maybe by the same table. And we sit and we open it and we close our eyes and we just pray in a moment. And we wait upon the peace of God by the same table. See, sometimes in life it's not as easy and you push it away. And then you leave stuff by this table. You get up and enough is enough, and you throw the ring down and you say, that's it. I leave the whole commitment here. By the very table, you just seek the peace. But you see, in life, when life happens at the table, we also take things back. We oftentimes forgive. We oftentimes forget. We oftentimes just move on in life and we take it all back and we recommit by the same table. You see, this table, it's a table where we also nourish our bodies. It's a table where we sit with family and friends, and we oftentimes say, let's get together on Sunday or Wednesday, and let's have a lekker meal, and we get pizza, and it's just fun. And we just have conversation, and we just laugh about every stupid thing that happened, and a new little picture you saw. Same table. No food. But you see, there's also the days where the laughter turns to one phone call. And it's a phone call where you go, yes. What do you mean passed away? What do you mean they're not with us anymore? And this very table where the laughter echoed in the house last night is the very table where you sit alone that day. You get fed by this table in your body and you enjoy it and you sit and you laugh. It's a table where all the strangers become friends, and it's a place where the friends become family. But it's the same table where all the negativity and all the fights might take place as well. It's by this table. You see, in life, there's a table in your life. There's a physical table where maybe a lot of the things I just mentioned took place physically, and you could see it happen. You could see that moment where you took the flowers and you threw it away and you said, that's it. But it might be the same table where you said, I'm sorry. But there's one thing about this table. See, this table is not just a physical table with stories. Sien net 'n sentimentele item wat deur generasies al hierdie stories het nie. This is a spiritual table as well. See, there's a scripture, and I want to take you to that scripture. And if you can read with me in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 21. And I want you to take this with all the love I can give it. I want you to take this and really make it your table in this day in the presence of God. You see, the scripture teaches this. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Have you ever read that in the Word of God? And it's so hardcore. It sounds like a movie and a scene written for a horror show. And then it says, you cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. And it made me think of the tables of our physical life. It made me think of the moments where we sat and we called out to God, show me the way, give me the direction, speak into my life. And we call upon God, but the very next day, this is the table where the strippers dance. Hardcore, right? You see, there's tables of demons. And it's a physical and it's a real thing. In many households, they will dish up and they will plate and they will set up a table where demons feast and have parties in the spiritual realm of that house. What do you mean, Yaku? I mean that there's moments and decisions in the lives of people and households and relationships that is not aligned with God's will. And God teaches clearly in His Word that if you're not for me, then guess what? Automatically, you're against me. So if this is not the table of God in your life, if the conversations, if the moments, if the games, if the parties, if the fellowship, if the finding peace, if the prayer, if the anger, if the fights aren't in God's presence, it means it's not God's table and there's only one other table. The table of demons. I read again 1 Corinthians 10 verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot be both ways. You cannot have life in every area and every pleasure you want. There's a different cup we should drink from. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Let me simplify this. It means that this table in your house should be a place where you meet in the presence of God. You see, there's a scripture that says, me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know that. See, when you pray that, when you say that, it should be that. Everything that happens around this table should be then in the presence of God. But we can so quickly, so in a second, go the other way. Let me illustrate it. We can, rather than seeking peace, go like, let me get the bank on the line and see what we can figure out. Instead of maybe calling a fasting moment in your house and family around the table, and we say, tonight we will not eat, but we will eat from the Word of God. And you open the Word of God, desiring God's movement. You see, there's an either or. I ask again, your table in your house, what happens around it? Because the reality of a day and time is a lot of people don't even meet around the table anymore. It's alcohol for himself. Have you felt that? Not seen that. Have you felt that? Where you sit by yourself and someone sits by themselves and someone sits outside. And after a meal, you go like, I'm full, but I'm not full. You see, there's a moment in time where God clearly spoke about tables. And God said that I am the good shepherd. I will come and fetch my bride, but before I fetch my bride, that's the church, I will prepare a table. See, there's scripture in the Word of God that clearly speaks about God that will prepare a table in the midst of His people. And I want to read this one moment, this one explanation in the Word of God, if I can call it that. You see, Luke 14 has a parable. When you read from verse 15 onwards, and I'm just going to read it quickly, I want you to see what's happening around this table. When one of those at the table, with him heard this, he said to Jesus, so Jesus was busy talking, speaking, teaching, and then someone heard it, and then they said, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. See, God is a God that is all about tables. He's a God that's all about the people around the table. But verse 16 then explains this. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he set his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' So the table is set. The food is ready. The plates are there. Your name is by the seat. You are invited to sit by the table God himself prepared." It's a banquet. It's a feast. It's a wedding day. It's awesome. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." How many times in our households do we have the words against the wall and maybe in a frame and even on a tattoo that me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But when we have a moment where we can see God by the table with family and friends and ourselves and just seek His presence, pursue God by the table, we come up with excuses like this man. You see, for God in every day prepares a feast and a banquet. He has the desire to sit with His children and have a feast daily. But we as the people rather sit and eat outside because it's hot in the room. We come up with excuses. "No, you know what? I'm not really hungry. But actually, you want to eat 3 chickens. But not to sit at the seat by the table. You will know I've got to study. No, I don't have time." And we come up with excuses like the people who were invited to this feast. Verse 19, another said, "I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another said, "I just got married, so I can't come." Verse 21. The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servants, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, and the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there's still room, there's still space, there's still an invitation, there's still a preparation space and spot for you." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." It's a great story. It's about a table and it's about a feast. But it's about someone who prepared the feast and then an invitation to someone else. You see, in the life we live in, there's a physical table. And many things happened around your table. Many illnesses discussed. Maybe it's like a road that ended in darkness and you have no way out. Maybe it was an engagement discussion. Maybe it was a baby on the way discussion. Maybe it was joy, but maybe it was sorrow. In your physical house, you have a table and many things happened there. But in the Spirit, there's a table. And you and I, we dress this table daily according to our needs. And oftentimes, it's not the will of God. Oftentimes, we dress this table in our daily lives without a place for God. There's only 1 chair, it's yours. There's only 2 chairs, it's yours and your wife's. There's no place for God. There's no invitation to your spiritual table daily. There's no invitation for God into your household, even though you might say, "We will praise God." How's it going in your life? How's the conversations around your table daily? Because maybe you've excluded God from the table. You see, maybe, we actually try to set the feast by ourselves when in actual fact God said, "I will prepare the banquet. Just show up. Just come sit. Your name is there. The feast is ready." But how many times do we experience the call of the Spirit? How many times do we know we should go to church? How many times do we know prayer is waiting? How many times are we called to get involved? How many times do we hear sermon after sermon after sermon? But it's just excuses upon excuses. And before we know it, our life falls apart. And all it means is that maybe we're not sitting by the banquet prepared by our God, but rather by the happy meal we bought. Maybe it's a party for one and we're missing out on the party of God. Maybe we never made room for God by the table. You see, church, we are supposed to pursue the table. When I say that, I mean we're supposed to pursue laughter together. We are supposed to pursue family time. We are supposed to pursue moments where we feed our body healthy food together. We are supposed to pursue a table where peace is found in the Word of God, where wisdom is sought by the Word of God by the table. When someone phones, you invite them to the table, not just for this reason or that reason, because I believe in my whole heart there's certain things the table is all about. And the first thing is connection. A table is about connection. You see, the moment I turned away from Sundry, she was left out. There's no connection except, well, maybe you don't want to talk to me. Maybe I will receive that WhatsApp in the next hour where, why didn't you even look at me when we were on stage? But you see, a table is about connection. When I turn to her and I touch her and we have laughter and conversations and she massages this really sore muscle she just touched. It's a connection moment. See, the table is about connection. You cannot expect to connect over email all the time. Come on, church. You cannot expect to always connect in a fight, because that's what people think. Let's fight and then we'll connect. No, you said nothing. A table is about connection. When last did you connect with your Father by the table? Because you see, the truth of the matter is we'll easily get up and we will clear the table from everything and we'll make space. We'll walk away and we're like, Lord, come on. And we walk away and we're like, yes, you know what? I don't know if I've got time to pray, but let me go get it. Let me start. You know what? This will make me feel better. And we start counting all we have. Oh, 20 bucks. Oh, my life sucks. But when you take the Word of God and you lean over, and you take the word and you say, Lord, but you said, I will be fulfilled in every want and need. The table changes. But it starts with a connection with God. It starts with pulling a chair. It starts with you deciding, I'm going to sit down and this is my 10 minutes. If the phone rings, it rings. If the children cry, oh Lord, look after your sheep. But it's my connection moment. See, maybe you communicate in the car when you're frustrated, it's hot, the aircon is broken, there's no petrol in the car, and you want to have a deep discussion with the person you love. Guess what? It's not going to go well in that moment of frustration. You should take the time to pull the chair, to sit down and call a connection moment. And we say, Sundry, kijk my in my oor. Is you okay? Means a lot more. You know what? Before you say anything, let's pour ourselves a cup of coffee. It's going to mean more. It's a place of connection. Another thing it is a place of blessing. It's a place of physical blessing where you will leave this church and you're going to carve into that scar boat. I did say one day to Michael Sheep's ass, you're going to eat that, man. And by this table, you will feel blessed the moment that gebraaide aardappel goes into your mouth. Mm-mm. And you will raise a hallelujah. It's true. But after three plates of that, you go like, I will never eat again. But you feel blessed in the moment you sat around that table and you enjoyed the coffee, you enjoyed the food. But it should be a place where you also, in the connection of God, also experience the blessing. Where you see the $20, you go, Lord, thank you for the $200. This is not, oh, when you look, oh, it's $2,000. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this moment of blessing. For you will take the seed I will sow in joyful manner, and you will just enlarge my territory. And before you come to church, you already had a connection with God. You already had a moment of blessing in your giving, in your attitude, in your wondering, in your need, in your wants. In that moment you had by the table before church, the blessing is poured out now because you prepared the atmosphere. You prepared the connection. You prepared the table, not for your own things, but for godly things. Another thing it is a table of brokenness. Because oftentimes we can only see the 20 rand. Oftentimes we can only see the pain. We can only see the abuse. We can only see the root canals and the headaches constantly. We can only see the empty chairs. We can only see the silence of God. Lord, I've got no desire to connect even because it's been 10 years and I heard nothing. May I encourage you on this day when it's a table of brokenness, let the one who is whole and almighty sit by that table. Your 20 rand will not change the brokenness. Your power physically, your sore muscle will not change your brokenness by the table. But the one who heals can. But you yet again need to get up, get away, and then pull the chair. Not for one, but you walk around and it's effort and it's time. And you pull the chair and you say, my Father, my Jesus, the Holy Spirit, you are welcome by my table. And you have a physical chair for the Lord to sit. And then you walk around and you go like, Lord, I know you don't want my cream soda, but do you need something? You just need me? Oh, here I am. And by that broken table you sit and you just pour out. I promise you this, it's going to mean more than 10 hours of counseling. Because the one who truly heals, we're invited to your table. You see, it's a table of givenness. It's a word that's weird, but it's true. It's a table where we give. You see, Jockey, if he invites me, or when he invites me to his house for dinner, I assume he will offer me something to drink. It's his house. He will give unto me a seat by his table. He will give unto me maybe water or cream soda. He will give unto me the laughter and joy and fellowship of the moment. He will give unto me. It's a table of giving as well. Even though we prepare it, we give it away. Even though it's empty at the end of the night, the connections were made, the blessings was poured out, the brokenness was spoken into, and therefore we are happy that it's now empty, but in the Spirit, something else happened. We were moved. It's a table of giving. But you see, there's one table that speaks of the coming feast. It's a table of brokenness. It's a table of giving. But it's a table that shouts that there's a God who is whole that will come and already prepare a feast and banquet for you. But you are invited. It means that you have the opportunity, you have the moment, you have the ability, you have the strength to either accept the invitation like in the parable or reject the invitation. And the word teaches that those who made excuses for the Lord's presence, for honoring Him by the table, will miss out on the banquet. The Lord teaches that there's people who have nothing in this life. They don't even have a table like this, but they will sit by His presence and enjoy. Why? Because their hearts. See, their hearts pursued. They were in an active pursuit of God by the table. They knew their strength was not in the cream soda, the fun games, the 20 rand. It was in the moments where they were alone and they had God by the table of their lives. Therefore, he said, like with a wedding day, I'm preparing a banquet. You are all invited, but who wants to be here? Who wants me by the table, God said. It's your choice. Ask again, how's it going in your house by your physical table? How's your life playing out? Are you still running after answers and seeking direction? Or do you have all the foundation needed? Because I believe that when God speaks, it's powerful. I believe that when God moves, it's got direction, it's got purpose, it's intentional. I believe that where Jesus is involved, it will be blessed. See, I know real people. Who's real people in this house? Come on. I know that real people not often have a chair for God by the table. We miss it because we're so in a hurry. Ons hardloop so rond. We oftentimes forget about God by our table. But there's a table here in one night, a communion table. He established that table and he declared that this will be a table that will be prepared and served up weekly, monthly, and every minute. It will never change. It's a table that speaks of the blood that was poured out. And on the night he sat with his friends around the table, having connection and blessing and moments of brokenness, he spoke of his betrayer by that very table of blessing. The very table, he said, is your release, is your freedom, is your salvation, is a symbol of hope. That very table had a betrayer. Actually, two. Same table. You cannot sit at the Lord's table and enjoy that, but also sit by the table of demons. See, God's got a table. And he encourages everyone to accept the invite. And the invite is as simple as this. If you make space for me as God, your Savior, by your physical table and your spiritual table, the healing that comes from the blood, the release that comes from the blood that covers all and erases all will fill your life. The body that was broken for your sins, for your wrongdoings, for your faults, for your mistakes, for you being human, that body being broken will be enough for your tables in every day. But you've got to accept the invite. You've got to allow Christ by your table. See, on this day, I believe that as simple as this might sound and be, it's not as simple. Want om die Here in jou lewe elke dag toe te laat is scary. It means you need to have faith. It means you need to risk. It means you've got to be involved. It means it's going to take effort. It means you need to show up for prayer meets. It means you've got to pray more. It means that you need connection moments in His presence with His Word. It means that this table becomes your lifestyle. It means that when you wake up, thank you, Lord, it's a new day. When your children moan, you go, thank you, Lord, that I have healthy children. When the 20 rand is all that's left in your wallet, thank you, Lord, for the miracle that's going to take place because you see this. When the doctor phones with that one phone call that changes that whole table, you go, Lord, thank you that I know you are above all this. You are more powerful than this. You are, Father, the God of nothing is impossible. You see, this is that table. It's the table that takes away your depression. It's a table that takes away the swelling. It's a table that takes away the anxiety of life. It's a table that releases you from the stress. It's the table that brings the peace when it's most necessary. This is the table when you see your life as the darkest moment ever. This is the table that brings the light into that moment. And you are invited to this table. No sin you've ever done, Nux, can separate you from this table once you accept it. Next. Niks wat iemand gesê het nie, niks wat iemand gedoen het nie, niks wat jy gedoen het, kan hierdie bloed van Christus en die liggaam van Christus wegvat nie. Niks. For the body and the blood of Christ is everlasting. It's done. It's successful. It is victorious. It is all powerful. It covers all its stains in the blood of Christ. It erases everything else. It takes the ashes of life into a moment of praise and joy. That is the God of this table. Come on, church. How's your table looking currently? Chaos? Fighting? A wedding ring in the middle of that table in an empty room and no one present. Your table, maybe your mind racing away of, I need direction. I need an answer. I need to know now. Maybe it's a table where you should just come and sit and know that He is God. See, that's this table today. This is the table where you should sit today and just know that He's God. All you need to know on this day is that He is God. Ken jy by jou naam? Gaan uitwerk. Whatever it is, it's going to work out. Come sit by the table. Ek sê jou. So we're going to pray. You are welcome for yourself to come forward, not just the heads of the house, but for yourself, this is you accepting an invitation in the presence of God. Come forward as we're going to play a song in the next moment, and then you take your communion, for God said, this is my blood which is poured out for you. This is my body broken for you. And we know in this day that this table, this banquet, this feast is a feast of deliverance and hope. For it's Christ. So as you take it and you partake of the communion in this day, know that it is Christ who knows you by name. There's hope. So as the song is going to play, you take your moment and then just listen to the words of the song. For I believe God's going to speak through the song of this next moment into the hearts and lives of many people. God wants to say something. I tell you this straight. So Lord, we pray for this table. Father, we can add nothing to it. We cannot bless it more than it's blessed. Father, we cannot make it more awesome. We cannot prepare this table better in any way, Father. But what I know is that it's great in your presence. So Lord, I pray that you will bless the wine, that you will bless this symbol of your blood that was poured out for our sins, our iniquities, your body broken for our sins and our brokenness and just who we are in this world, Father. Thank you, Lord, that this is a table of covering the brokenness, of erasing the shackles and strongholds. This is a table of where the darkness becomes light. This is a table where the dead bones become an army in your presence. This is a table of healing and provision. This is a table where heaven opens up. This is a table in your presence. So Lord, as every heart and soul and body will partake of this, Lord, I pray that you will bless them, that you will speak, Holy God, and that they will know in this moment that you our God. Lord, bless it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.